Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this, a true voice with Dr. Fred. Hello and welcome to the True Voice with Dr. Fred podcast. It's an opportunity for me to actually speak my true voice as an example of showing you how to do the same. So the idea here is to really find our true voice and then deliver it to a world that is eager to receive it. And how do I know they're eager to receive it? Because authenticity just completely trumps any kind of agreement. You know, for the time being, we like to think that if we just kind of settle in and don't get involved in conflicts, like, you know, we say, don't talk about religion or race or politics. Soon we say, don't talk about anything. Soon we're saying, don't talk about anything at all that could possibly create any kind of conflict or disagreement. And, you know, there's a fine line to tread here because, you know, we don't want to create a bunch of divisiveness when we speak to our own personal truths about those things that are controversial, like sometimes topics in religion or politics or religion and politics, primarily sexual preferences, et cetera. So today I'm going to ask us to really see that, you know, it's not so much the content that we're after here. And there is no reason to actually speak to politics or religion or sexual preferences without, you know, if the intention is to incite some kind of agitation or aggression. The purpose of actually speaking our true voice isn't to create agitation or aggression. The idea here is to move the needle forward in a conversation. And we might get that the most important ingredient when choosing how to express one's true voice isn't what we think it is. It isn't. It's in the world of listening. So curiosity then leads to listening, which then leads to connection, which then in a lot of ways, it's a little bit surprising, leads to healing. So today I'll be here alone. My partner Sam is not with me today. He's off on a really important mission with a great conversation with one of the leaders in our world. And I'm really excited for him that he's there. I can't wait to hear what the outcome was. But I'm open to speak with people from the outside. And so far, it's been kind of dim when we offer the phone number that people don't call in. So if you're in your car, you're at home, and you're interested in having a conversation primarily about true voice, or even if you want to talk about healing the healer, which I'll be talking about a little more today, the number to call is 1-888-627-6008. It's 1-888-627-6008. And, let's talk. You know, in the meantime, I'm going to keep talking and we'll see how things go. Let's talk a little bit about talking. So if you're at home or you're watching this after the episode, you'll probably be at least have the capacity to be watching me speak. You see my background, you see my home, and then you make some ideas, you create some meaning about what you're seeing here when you're actually watching me do this podcast. Maybe it's in my clothing, maybe it's in my background, maybe it's in my mannerisms, maybe it's in the actual voice that I'm delivering or my physicality, or maybe it's in the noises that you hear, or maybe, you know, this light sometimes goes on and off for a split second. So you might notice that and think something about it. What I'm pointing to here is that the content coming out of my mouth doesn't merely have as much weight as the overall gestalt, the overall experience of being with me. And this doesn't have anything to do with me in particular. It actually holds true for being with anyone. This is like, if you're with somebody, it is not so much the words that come out of their mouth that has anything to do with what is important. Sure, the words are important, and that's what gets recorded as what's being said, and it lives on if it's recorded. But in the end, the experience that you're having in any given minute inside of a communication effort is actually colored more by the context or more by sort of the intangibles, you know, and not to mention what's going on in your world, what's going on in your world when you're communicating. So how I'm speaking, what I'm saying, what, you know, what my expression is, even in the best of worlds, by the time it lands over there with you, it's not very similar in many ways to even what I thought I was saying. I have no real way of knowing how I come across over there to you. And after all, I have my own inner thoughts, feelings, emotions, my own concerns, physical sensations that are in the way, or at least contributing to what it is that I'm saying at any given time, much of which I at least temporarily consider is reality. So is my own reality. And therefore, that colors whatever I choose to say, including whatever my next sentence is in any given moment, or my next word, my next utterance, or my next even choice to go silent. This is also true over there, because once the words go into the ether, and these days it really is kind of an ether, right? I mean, the words travel from me to you, and you might be across the globe, you might be thousands of miles away and still be hearing me at essentially real time. Or even in a weirder event, you might be hearing me days, weeks, or months after I actually spoke this, as if I'm speaking it right now. Now, none of this is coming as any surprise to you, but when you start looking at the weirdness of communication, it wasn't always true that you could hear somebody several months later or hear exactly what they said or watch them do whatever they did sometime again and again and again, some amount of time later. So this adds some new level of complexity to the whole notion of what communication is. Like, you don't have to listen or watch or be with me on real time to know what you think I say, especially if you're not going to interact with me. Now, in interaction, we start going into real time. What do I mean by that? Well, if one of you was to call me, or I was to all of a sudden have a conversation or have a co-host or have a guest here with me, that would be happening on real time. And that experience in and of itself could not and would not be repeated. This whole idea of repeating experience, taping, videoing, audio taping, those kinds of things are very weird nuances that have been developed in my lifetime. Now, of course, there was a little bit of video, a little bit of audio just before I was alive. But ultimately, the way that we use it now, and that we can watch podcasts days, weeks, months, even years later, or we can watch telecasts or watch them over and over again, or split them up or edit them. And in these days, we can use, like, you know, Photoshop to mess them up, or we can edit things in that I didn't really say that make it look like I said it. There's so much artificial intelligence out there that it allows for what I say to be actually different than what I said. We're living in crazy times in the world of communication, and they are, you know, our communication capacity is being threatened. And what I mean by that is it has almost, well, very little to do with what it is that you or me are trying to do, but the environment makes it so tricky to actually try to get our message out there. Even before the environment had it be tricky, however, it's always been difficult. It's always been difficult to speak our true voice and have it be heard. And it's taken some skill set to get that as the speaker, I personally am responsible at some level for what you hear me say. That is really critically important. Because I could say something, and then when you hear it a certain way, and that's what gets recorded as what I said, even if I think I said something entirely different than what you heard. So in this scenario, the listener, the person who is listening, is sort of always right, no matter what the speaker thought they said or why they said whatever they said. This also is a complicated issue because normally we blame the listener for misunderstanding what we said, and the frustration starts there. Perhaps I say something and you hear something entirely different than it was my intention, and then you attribute whatever I said to me, whatever you heard me say to me, and it's no longer aligned in any way with what I thought I was saying. There is no doubt that problems could naturally arise from that phenomenon. But what I'm suggesting here is that as long as we are compassionate with each other, as long as we are forgiving with each other, as long as we are accepting about the idiosyncrasies that are presently threatening or at least jostling our capacity to actually have open communication and real discourse with each other, and that we can maintain some degree of latitude, some degree of acceptance, some degree of compassion, some degree of a willingness to allow for discrepancy. Can we do that? Now, up until very recently, sometimes this idea of mishearing a word has caused conflicts that become nearly insurmountable. In fact, it's been said that changes in a sentence have caused actual wars before, where many people get killed because somebody misheard what somebody else was really trying to say. So that's what makes this a high gravity situation, in that we no longer know either that what we're saying is landing over there the way I said it, or that the timing, for instance, I might say something here today that would be, you know, essentially innocent. It would have nothing to do with anything. It would maybe mean something given the context of the times. And then life goes on and the times change and the context changes and the restrictions change and what's expected changes and the taboo changes. And then somebody comes back and actually gets the tape of me saying whatever I said and then transposes it into a future date where now what I say is no longer in context with when I said it, but instead we're trying to put a round peg into a square hole called the future. Now, when that happens, of course there's an opportunity for it not to fit. For instance, if I'm wearing some pairs of clothes and then I either gain weight or lose weight, the clothes might not fit. I might not be able to buckle my pants, or my pants might actually fall off of me if I've lost weight. And that would not mean that I bought the wrong pair of pants. It would mean that times changed. And because times changed, the pants that I bought on a given day no longer fit. That also holds true with conversations. So we need, there's my light going off. It's kind of cool system, but you know, we need to have some compassion for each other. And it's not like I've mastered this, by the way. You know, I can get upset with people. I can get concerned about what people think about certain things, or, you know, what they might think about me directly. But in the end is an opportunity to really just get sound and solid about what's really so, and get a capacity to really step into our truest self. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this project of the True Voice course. The True Voice course, which I've been talking about for many months, appears to almost be ready to go. Or in fact, it certainly is somewhere where you could sign up and enjoy that course immensely. How do I know? Well, for the last several days, I've been recording the audio of the entire course, and I've just completed the course essentially as a participant. I found the course to be beautiful, and some of the things that I have written or have been developed by myself and my team are extraordinary and really help and really create the opportunity to get in touch with our true voice and then line it up so that it's deliverable to the world that we live in. we might notice that our true voice is something that's really not only consistent with our core self and our inner values, but in the end, it's only important if we're able to deliver it effectively into a world that is at least willing, if not totally eager, to receive it. An interesting piece about this is that when I'm being authentic, when I'm actually delivering my truest voice, it is amazing how attractive it is. So last night, I was at a dinner with about 30 people, 28 of which I had never met before. My wife and I were there together. And there was some discussion about how things are going in the world and what we could do or not do to make positive changes in the world. It was really quite an awesome discussion of ways that we might be able to move the world forward in the up and coming changes that are naturally occurring in front of us and in the near and distant future. At one point in the conversation, the moderator asked if there was any questions or comments, and I took it upon myself to actually speak my true voice. My true voice in this situation had to do with psychiatry and sort of the outdatedness of modern conventional psychiatry, that perhaps it was unsuccessful in achieving the lofty goals that it set for itself. And there's a possibility that moving out of the psychiatric realm is a good decision, not only for patients and clients, but sometimes for the providers who have found themselves either being frustrated or choked or muffled or muzzled or canceled or censored or just simply burnt out with the field. When I said that, after I was done, it was about an 8 minute or 10 minute conversation that I took the floor and mic with. All of a sudden, I was rushed by many of the people in the room as if I had said something that really resonated with them. I didn't actually know it would happen that way, but so many people were aligned with this idea that they know someone or maybe even themselves who have been affected in some way suboptimally by their decision to walk into the psychiatric field. What are we going to do with this is the question. And so the question and answer are the same. The answer to working with a psychiatric field that maybe doesn't actually produce the results that it was at least exclaiming it was intended to produce is to walk into our true voice, to optimize our capacity to communicate with each other, to have conversations, and to use creativity to create human connection and communication, which essentially is at the heart of all healings of all types, all conditions, of all values, all types of conditions. So that really held true for a lot of people, and a lot of people were interested in getting my phone number and my email and seeing how we could help. I invite you, because that is essentially me stepping into my healer, I invite you to ask yourself, where have you decided that you're not a healer? Where have you stopped listening to others because you don't like what they say? Because when you do that, you really are missing out on an opportunity to consider new ways of thinking. No one's asking you to agree with what they say, but to learn about what other people say is sort of like reading a book. Choosing not to read because you are right and you don't need to hear anyone else's opinion would, of course, be a ludicrous, preposterous, and kind of insane way of managing new information. I am really an advocate for being able to listen as best as I can, not always great at it, to people who have adversarial or juxtaposed position to my own on any given topic, so that I can learn how people think and how people be. After all, if I would have had the life up until now that they have, I would be saying and thinking exactly what they think. There's a willingness and a capacity to actually be with people being themselves that I wonder if is a good challenge for you to step into as well. And that's where we're going to talk a little bit about the next course that I've now developed, which is under construction and about to go through accelerated changes over the next several days. So after this commercial, we'll come back and talk about healing the healers. For now, let me just give you the phone number again. It's 1-888-627-6008. And I'm looking forward to talking to you. So if you call in and you have anything you want to share or talk with me about, That would be great. 1-888-627-6008. We will catch you on the backside of this commercial. Thanks for now. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer, and I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had, even though they did meet the criteria, etc., I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the Undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their condition's cleared. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but as two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeply uncomfortable. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect, and from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Frey. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So, welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. All right, welcome back, welcome back. So, I'm noticing the glare in my glasses, and maybe if you're watching this, you're like, man, the glare in the glasses is really, really bothering me. And then you might get caught up in the idea that I should have changed my glasses. I should have put on the contacts. I might even look better in contacts. And then while you're thinking all that and judging the delivery system, you know, you're like, oh, the fireplace is cool. And the framing of his head is kind of cool inside the fireplace. But man, he should got to fix that glare on his glasses. You might miss a lot of the idiosyncrasies that I'm trying to get across. Or instead of missing it, you will incorporate it as to what you thought I was saying. Or you will, you know, maybe even like draw the lines in between what you heard me last and what you're thinking now, and then like filling in the gaps in what you think I must have said in order to get to where I was the last time you were paying attention to where I am now, if in fact you're paying attention. And that's just how we work. Now, that's a, you know, there's a lot of capacity to misunderstand people inside of that. And I want to speak now to the next piece, which I think is even closer to my heart, more directly, like a target audience that I'm extremely curious about. And that audience are the healers. Who's a healer? You're a healer. How do I know? Because people get better when they're in your authentic presence. Yeah, but when I say healing the healers, am I speaking to you if you're not in a healing field? Well, indeed, I am. But it's true that the target market of Healing the Healers is more about people who have committed their life, who have at some point have come to grips with the idea that they really want to do in this lifetime is help others heal their wounds, help others move forward in life. Now, what I want to say is, in order to do that, we have to look at where are the healers now. There's been some changes in the last several years, and that's even before the pandemic. The idea is that some of the healers in the world are disillusioned with what they came into. Some of them thought they were going into a field that looked a lot different from before school than it did after school or after their curriculum, after their clinicals, and after being in the field for a long time, so that they're no longer practicing that which they thought they were getting into, instead getting caught up with parts of the job that don't really suit their basic needs. Given that they're now misaligned with what they do, they need to be healed, because whenever you're doing something that is misaligned with who you know yourself to be, it does cause some degree of rupture. And that rupture can be seen as wounding. So whenever we're walking through life and doing something that we either know we shouldn't be doing, or in worst case scenario, actually saying or being someone that we even disagree with as a function of our job, there is something at the core that is like a soul sacrifice. These days, there are several ways that these healers find themselves on the outskirts of the healing environment, of the healing institution, of the healing realm or domain. It can happen when you get burnt out. It can happen when you get fired or laid off, given that some of the healthcare industries have been choked or have switched in their delivery systems. It can happen that you just retire, or that you quit, or that it's no longer aligned, or that you, multiple other ways as well, that you can't get along with the philosophies that have shifted inside of your workplace. So there's a lot of healers who are left deeply disillusioned, and in some ways, maybe even depressed or concerned about their situation. Like, how are they going to ever be a healer? And many of them are leaving the field and then looking elsewhere. Like, I'm never going to go into the healing arts again. I tried, it didn't work for whatever reason. And now I got to learn a new profession. Maybe I'll learn how to be an online banker. Maybe I'll learn how to be a barista. Maybe I'll learn how to be a sculptor. Maybe I'll learn how to be a plumber, and anything like that. What Healing the Healer does is utilizes the same technology to draw in one's true voice, so that you get access to that resonating harmonic self of yours, the one that is truly you, the one that can move the conversation forward, the one that is really built to be consistent with who you were when you arrived on the earth, however many years ago. Once you become in touch with that at a new and exquisite level, giving yourself room for having been someone different than you were in order to protect the person you were, which, by the way, never did work and certainly isn't working today. Once you become more attuned with that harmonic resonance of being your truest self, funny things happen. Number one, you are naturally sent down a pathway that is more consistent with who you know yourself to be. These days, there's some super interesting things going on in the world of healing transformation, or transformational ways of actually delivering healing. Many of us have heard these things in the past as being alternative or being from other cultures, but there's also a new culture that's even coming out of our present Western culture that is no longer being dictated by third parties or what people have to do or protocols that are hoisted upon us, but instead are actually tapping our greater knowledge, our greater wisdom to bring healing to the planet. How exciting is that? It's super exciting. And what I'm finding when I'm talking to healers is that when they get in touch with their truest self, some of them are able to come right on back into being healers. Some of them are able to come right on back into being healers that are more aligned with who they really are in a you know in an exponential fashion than they who they've had to be as a function of taking on the education and the hurdles and the responsibilities of the job description of the conventional healthcare industry that they are particularly involved with. Now, because of that, this is worth doing. Why is healing so important? If you look around, you might notice that the world is wounded. Now, we've been wounded forever. But we're at a difficult time now where it sure does seem like the ultimate wound, like the ultimate annihilation, which people have been concerned about with, you know, forever, might be upon us. And unless we heal the future, the near future and the moderate future is less likely to go the way that we are hoping it's going to go. So I invite you now to really take a look at what can we do to heal the healer? And this is what I'm talking about. The opportunity now is to heal healers by stepping into our true self and then offering them an opportunity to step into their true self. This is a great opportunity overall. We are no longer interested in letting people be different than they are in order to so-called make a living. As it turns out, you cannot get wealthy, and that doesn't mean just with money. That means in life in general, if you're doing something that you dislike. Because by the time you've done it enough to just meet basic necessities, you will then choose to do something you like I need a vacation, or I need a beer, or I need to go home, or all of those things. But can you imagine what it looks like when you're actually doing what you like and getting sustainable income as a function of that? That is the life we all aspire to. Now, there are parts of that job where maybe you don't like, you know, maybe you don't like cleaning, or maybe you don't like taking notes, or maybe you don't like reporting to, you know, someone higher in the chain. And some things in the job are going to be a bit undesirable. But with respect to the greater essence of the job, we want you to be attuned to it and be have it be aligned with your core self. And that's where Healing the Healer really steps in. I'll be working with a new friend of mine, Dr. Lyle, over the next several days to actually create the 10 videos that we need to create to put together these 5 modules and really make this thing hum. My intention is to have this course be ready to go in the very near future and then be marketing it and actually promoting it for those healers who are in desperate need of finding their truest self. I'm very excited about this project because what I've learned over time as an entrepreneur is that it's very important to actually be at the very best, the ideal client avatar that you are treating. In other words, you want the ideal client to be you. And in this case, or to be me several years ago, I have found myself finally getting out of the medical complex and now focusing on something that is more aligned with who I know myself to be. So I'm excited to announce the Healing the Healer course and then to promote and market it effectively. I don't think I'm going to go the whole hour today. It's been fun to speak about Healing the Healer, and it's also been fun to speak about the True Voice course. But before we say goodbye, I'm going to say one more piece. Today, I had my third book published. Some of you know I've written Find Your True Voice. That was my most recent book. And before that, Creative 8, Healing Through Creativity and Self-Expression, 2019. This book is called Wellness Wisdom. And I'm super excited to introduce it. I'm a co-writer in it. I wrote a one chapter that I'm very excited about called The Art or the Listening, you know, I've already forgotten the title name. It's Sound of Listening, The Sound of Listening. And I want you to really take a look at this book called Wellness Wisdom. The other thing I want to say is that I'm really excited about taking on new healing jobs that I've now come into my wheelhouse. Working with Dr. Laura and then working as well with another team of people at the wellness company appears to be something that I'm going to be able to take on. I look forward to telling you a little bit more about that in days and weeks to come. But in the meantime, I think I'm going to sign off today a little bit early, even though I love what I'm doing. I would have loved to have a conversation with somebody. And today I just have it that I really thank you for letting me put this conversation into the archives. So my cat is here. He just shows up whenever he knows he should. And to let me know that he's my pal, that's Valentino over there. And it's time now to say, to bid you farewell. It's time now to say arrivederci. It's time now to say goodnight, Laila Tov, and to wish you a very good week. It is the Christmas season, maybe not when you're listening or watching this, because we do have that a marvelous technology that allows you to listen and watch in any time of the year and any time of day. But it is in this reality, the Christmas season. So I also am wishing you the very best of your holidays. Thank you for much for tuning in. I'm sure Sam will be with us next week, and we'll have another booming session of True Voice with Dr. Fred. In the meantime, bye for now. We'll catch you on the flip side. Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding True Voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their true voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?